Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen.
The Rand McCoy.
Hurry, come and listen. It's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen. It's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen. It's the Rand McCoy show.
The Rand McCoy.
I'd like to welcome you to the show. This is Anna, the Real McCoy, Coach Anna McCoy with Woman Act Now Radio. We're excited about our guest today and what we have coming forward for you on today. We're talking about moving your vision forward with a virtual team. We have a special guest today, Gail Busick, who is the CEO of Team Double Click. So we're going to be talking about some great things as it relates to dealing with your company and decreasing your overhead, being able to build a team of people and to be able to move forward. So, Gail, are you on the line?
I am. It's good to be here, Anna.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, we finally got together. I tell you, we were a couple of busy ladies.
It was hard to get our schedules to correspond, that's for sure.
Well, let me tell you, I think this is very important. Our last, we did a couple of shows prior to you being a guest on the show and sharing with our audience all about Team Double Click and really introducing you to the marketplace. And then we talked about, on last week, about just some of the benefits of having a virtual assistant. But it's nothing like having the real McCoy of the virtual world join us today. So I'm excited with your presence.
Well, thank you.
Well, the first thing that I want to do, I want to talk about the opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity to tell us all about Team DoubleClick.
I would be very happy to. Team DoubleClick, so you've already talked about virtual assistants, so I'm going to assume all of your listeners know what virtual assistants are and some of the things that they can do. And what Team DoubleClick is a virtual assistant staffing agency. So what we do is we interview and screen virtual assistants, and then we place them with our clients. So our interviewing and screening process is actually very rigorous. We only pass about 20% of the people that actually come through for interviews. So we know when they're done with all of that, we've got a quality person that we can assign to our clients. So it takes a lot of the guesswork out of all of that.
Okay. All right. And what else does Team DoubleClick do for, whether it's entrepreneurs or tell us how we can benefit from participating with your company?
Well, one of the things, you know, of course, there's the quality. One of the things that we found in the virtual assistant industry is there's just not a lot of consistency because anyone can say that they're a virtual assistant. It doesn't matter what their background is. So one of the things that we've strived to do is put that consistency back into the equation so that you know, obviously you're not getting a cookie-cutter person. Everyone has their own personality and their own skill sets, but we screen them to make sure that they're good. And then we work with our clients one-on-one to help them figure out, you know, what things are missing in their businesses, what they need to go to the next level. Is it someone to answer the phones or do cold calling? Maybe it's someone to help handle customer service or process orders, things like that. So we kind of work with you to figure out what it is lacking in your business, and then we find a virtual assistant that has those missing skills and assign that person to you. And then once we've done that, we still kind of hang out in the background. We coach the virtual assistant one-on-one, and our customers don't pay for that. That's on our time. So we coach the virtual assistants, help them through some of the little challenges of working virtually so that they can be better. We'll also check in from time to time with clients, make sure everything's going well. You know, we realize that if things aren't going well, sometimes it's really hard to say, you know, that this person isn't doing so well, I'm still lacking in this, what can we do? So we get things from the client perspective too, and then we take those back to the virtual assistant and try to help her solve any problems that she might be having or the client might be having with her. And if we can't solve those problems, we'll pull that virtual assistant out and we'll replace her with someone else. So we're really, we not only match client and virtual assistant together, we monitor and nurture the relationship so that it has a better chance of working.
Okay, so now that I understand, I think I understand a little bit better because we certainly haven't touched on this. You made a great point as it relates to, because when we talk about virtual assistant, there are many individuals who say that I'm a virtual assistant, I'm an executive assistant, I'm a personal assistant. But I think what I just heard you say about Team DoubleClick is that you not only are you do you have a large group of virtual assistants, but not only that, you act as the qualifying agency.
Exactly.
For this group of people. So it's almost like if I really were and I wanted to pursue this particular area, a company like Team DoubleClick would be a company that, as in, and I'm putting myself in the entrepreneurial set right now, is that I want to be a virtual assistant. I would approach a Team DoubleClick, but then I'd have to go through a rigorous process that would, you know, that I could possibly or may not be approved.
Right.
The benefit to doing that is the fact that you have a reputation of doing just that, of really qualifying individuals in their areas of expertise.
Exactly, exactly. And then the other thing that we do with our virtual assistants, too, is obviously we look for people that have good backgrounds, that, you know, that they've got that administrative background, and those are the folks we choose. And then we send them through a training program that basically helps them take those bricks and mortar skills that they already have and apply them virtually. It's for some people, it's kind of hard to get your mind around working with someone at a distance. So
yes,
we show them all of the tools that exist, and there are hundreds and hundreds of tools now that really enable us all to work from a distance very easily.
Okay. Well, we were talking about some of that on last week as well. Of one of the comments that I made about for virtual assistants is that I believe that it's the responsibility of the virtual assistant to really determine the systems that will certainly make it easier for their client and themselves to be able to work virtually, like putting together whether it's intranet or it's being able to collaborate on documents and introducing this really to their client. Would you agree
Absolutely.
With that?
I absolutely do. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we do put them through our training course, too, is to kind of introduce them to some of these tools that they may not know are out there, because quite often our clients do lean on their virtual assistants, and, you know, they'll say, well, I need a contact relationship management program. Do you know of anything?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, if the virtual assistant doesn't know, then the client is either sending her out to research what they could possibly use, or they're left doing it on their own, which isn't very much help. So we show them all of these tools so that they can bring them back to the clients and make recommendations. And oftentimes, you know, a virtual assistant will have worked in four or five different CRM programs for various clients, so that when someone else comes along and says, I need a CRM, they can go, well, I've used this one and it's really awful. It doesn't do this or this or this. But on the other hand, I've worked with this one and it's fabulous. I, you know, here are the costs. This is the one I really recommend. I know how to use it inside and out, and these are the benefits. So it really, you know, virtual assistants can become basically another advisor to an
yes.
entrepreneur. And as entrepreneurs, we can never have enough advisors.
Oh, absolutely, because we talked about also just when we using a virtual assistant are many, not just one. You can have more than one in mm-hmm. pulling from a carpool of talent.
Mm-hmm.
In those particular areas that you actually need help to move your vision forward. So when you talk about, let's talk about, even though some of the audience may or may not know what a virtual assistant is, I'd like you to really talk about that a little bit to explain what a professional virtual assistant really is.
Mm-hmm. A professional virtual assistant is someone who, I'm going to talk, I guess, a little bit more in generalities. A professional virtual assistant should be looking out for your business as much as her own. Someone that is typically in-office employees, they come in, they punch the clock, they're there to collect their paycheck, and not a lot more. It's pretty rare that you find somebody that's really an employee that's really as vested in your business as you are. A professional virtual assistant should be as vested in your business as you are. And the reason that is because they are also entrepreneurs and they're also small business owners. So in order for them to grow, they need to want their clients to grow as well. I think that's one of the biggest keys. And then, of course, you know, loyalty and the skills, I think, I hate to say they come secondary because you do need someone with really good skills too. But that entrepreneurial spirit that can help catapult your business too is very important.
Okay. And what about some of the, certainly the benefits of hiring a virtual assistant?
Oh, gosh. You know, the list grows by the day. When we started doing virtual staffing 5 years ago, some of the benefits were the flexibility, for one. You know, for example, mm-hmm. if you hire an in-office person to come in and do your administrative tasks for you, typically you need to guarantee them a certain number of hours per week. The neat thing about virtual assistants is you don't have to guarantee that time to them. We work in estimates, so I would say, Anna, you know, how many hours do you think you'll need this person a week? You may come back and say 10 or 20 or whatever that number is. We use that number just so that it helps us balance out the virtual assistant's time, but it's not a guaranteed amount of time. If you only use that assistant 3 hours a week, it's fine. If you happen to need her 15 or 20 hours the next week, that's fine too. So the flexibility in that regard is a huge savings. You're not consistently paying someone and guaranteeing them 20 or 40 hours a week, even on weeks when the work isn't there. You know, we all know we have busy periods and slow periods. This week for us, for example, because it's 4th of July week, is very slow. So we're not using our Team DoubleClick's virtual assistants as much this week because we just don't have as much going on. Everyone's, you know, on holiday. So that helps. The other thing that really was more recently thrown into the mix was fuel prices. Companies and businesses all over the country are making huge adjustments. In fact, I just listened to a Fox News report yesterday. The state of Utah is moving all of their workers to a four-hour work week to help them save money so that their workers can afford to come to work. So if workers are having a hard time affording to work, you know eventually their salaries are going to have to go up, which is a bigger burden on us as small business owners. So virtual assistants don't have to travel. They have zero commute. So you don't have to worry about their prices for their commute going up. So you know, obviously a huge savings there. If you can remain or move back to being home-based, another huge savings. Obviously, if you're renting an office in town because you have a business, you're paying monthly rent, utilities on that office. You need to put a desk there for your virtual or for your assistant. You need to put a computer, another phone line, all of those things. But again, with virtual assistants, they have their own phones, their own computers, their own desks. They have their own office in their home, so you don't have to provide an office space for them. In fact, our company is 100% virtual. Well, we have just over 49,000 virtual assistants nationwide, and 35 of them are on our core staff. They work just for Team DoubleClick, and we're still 100% virtual. The only two people in our home office are my husband and myself.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we did a study about a year ago. If we were supporting a bricks-and-mortar office and the same number of people that we work with now, it was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to support all of that. And because we're home-based, we don't have all the utility overheads, don't have office rental. I mean, it's just amazing, the savings.
Well, you know, just in your grinning space, if you had those 35 individuals in a 6x6 cubicle,
right.
You know, the amount of real estate that you would have, mm-hmm. just to accommodate them.
Right. It would be horrendous. I can't even imagine. I sometimes I look at it and I wonder, you know, we wouldn't make any money if we had to support all that overhead. It would just, plain and simple, we wouldn't.
Sure. And think about the many companies that are actually in the same situation. I mean, that takes us, even when we think about virtual assistants, that's one idea, but it also takes you to the whole outsourcing mm-hmm. idea of being able to really execute this. if you could really find a team of people that you could build this virtual relationship or this virtual communication and systems together, that you could really begin to be very effective in achieving your business ideas, achieving your business models, and so forth with virtual individuals.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I'm glad you brought up the teams again, too. You touched on it earlier, and I missed it. I went off onto something else, I think. But using virtual assistants, you can almost set up departments as you would have in a large corporation. So maybe you need some marketing done, but, gosh, you just can't afford to bring in a marketing director and a couple of assistants for that marketing director. Working virtually, you don't have to. You can start small and get a PR person for 5 or 10 hours a week, mm-hmm. and that person can basically start your PR department. And maybe you need someone to process orders, customer service. Again, most small businesses and entrepreneurs, at least initially, can't bring in an entire customer service department.
Yes.
So you can get one or two people, 5 or 10 hours a week. There you have your customer service department. So you can do all of these things and really departmentalize and look bigger and behave bigger while saving a boatload of money, because you don't have to have an entire staff to do
yes.
that. And then you can add on as you go, which is actually exactly what we did at Team DoubleClick. We started out with a marketing person, and all she did was handle our newsletters. As revenues increased and business increased, then we added on more people. We've actually got 5 marketing people now with an actual marketing director who works hundreds of miles away from us.
Yeah.
And did the same thing with accounting and all of the other departments, and just gradually added on as we were able to.
Well, let's talk about, because I think I hear two things from you. One, certainly your knowledge and your expertise in working with virtual assistants, but I also hear an entrepreneur who has been able to maximize her opportunities in the virtual world by really executing on what you're selling. You
mm-hmm.
know, you're selling the service to other B2B businesses about hiring virtual assistants, but I am really impressed that within your own company to have attracted so many virtual assistants and to have them work with you and screen and go through that entire process when you're talking about almost 50,000 people, that is quite overwhelming when I think about it. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, if I can, about how you manage this process. You talked about it a little bit about building departments, but What is that experience really like? I mean, how do you get beyond, you know, in the corporate environment or even in our entrepreneurial ventures, we place a lot of emphasis on that team-building aspect of having to be face-to-face with people. So how have you been able to build a cohesive team virtually?
You know, this is one of my favorite questions to answer. And I'm going to go back to how we started. We were actually, it was just my husband and myself, and we had about 500 virtual assistants that worked for us. And really, I was managing everything myself, and we were stagnated. We just could not grow anymore. And my husband was after me and after me and after me, why don't you hire one of our virtual assistants? And I kept having this notion that, no, I can do it better myself. Well, finally, more to shut him up than anything else, I said, fine, I'll hire one and I'll delegate a few things. And it was almost addictive. And the reason it was is because it freed me up immediately to go do more of what I was really good at. And what I was good at was not sitting there answering menial emails and answering every phone call that came through. I was just so afraid to give that up that I didn't think anyone else could do it as well. But once I did give those things up and made myself realize that these other folks could really do things as well as I could, I was able to go out and do more sales, get more media appearances, and do all of those other things that actually helped our business grow. So it really, when we did that, it catapulted our business, for one thing. And as far as having everyone work together and work together well, one of the things we do is we have a meeting, a core team meeting every Monday. And everyone that's on our team, all those 35 that work just for Team DoubleClick, we all get on a conference call, and we'll go through company updates just like you would in a normal meeting, you know, status reports from each different department, how everything is going, where we are in this and that. And then we do chat sessions at the end, basically, kind of to replace the old water cooler in the bricks and mortar office. One week we'll do 2 minutes of fame. Everyone on the phone call gets to do 1 to 2 minutes of what really awesome things happened to them the week before. So kind of a motivational thing. One week everyone was feeling really in the dumps. We'd had a couple failures as a team. Things just didn't go quite the way we wanted to. So you'll love this. We did a game. It sounds harsh, but it was actually a lot of fun. It's called Why I Suck. Everybody goes around and says, you know, why they stink at something. And what we got out of that was those things that you think make you stink are what actually makes you really good because you focus on them and you try to improve.
Okay.
And that was really the gist of the game. Everybody loved it. So we do little team-building things, but we just do them over the phone instead of face-to-face.
Wow.
And I have to say, our entire team is amazing. There's absolutely no way. We live in a town of about 800. We're in the middle of Colorado in the mountains. There's not a lot of people around. And if we had to choose from the talent that was right here in our area,
yes,
we would never be able to accomplish what we do. That much talent is just not there.
Well, you know, that leads right into a great question when we're talking about, and I was talking about, the carpool of talent of being able to work with a, you know, being able to really define what you want as it relates to some of the people that you need on your team. And that's why I really do support and I really do appreciate virtual assistants or personal assistants or what I call, you know, professional experts in a particular field that's not necessarily a consultant, that is really there to execute. And that's what I believe these virtual assistants are, is I'm hoping that as I hire or, you know, get into relationship, that they're really about execution, and that's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
absolutely,
you avoid, when you work with employees, you're dealing with all of their issues, their emotions, their personal needs, all of those things before you even getting through some of the things that you need to do as it relates to your business.
Exactly.
And it seems like all that comes with it, but when you work with a virtual assistant, what you find is that person is really about execution. That whatever it is that you want to do, they're ready to take care of it and get it done.
And you speak the truth 100%. It's really amazing, and I have to brag about our team for a little bit. We, and really to give you an example, a month and a half ago, my husband and I conceived a new service idea that we were going to offer. And when I decide I want something, it's always I wanted it yesterday. That's just the speed at which I move. And we pulled our entire team together and said, look, this is what we want to do. Most companies, I've heard from several different people on our team, most companies, it would have taken them months upon months to put together what our team has, and they've done it in a month and a half. I mean, they have just been animals. I mean, they've been crazy. They're there for us at every turn. They're volunteering to work late hours. They're volunteering to work evenings. They're volunteering to work on weekends, and these aren't things we ask them to do. We just, you know, this is what needs to be done. We want this done as soon as possible. When do you think we can get it done by? And their response was by the middle of July. And goodness gracious, they've got it done. We'll be ready to launch on Tuesday.
Wow.
And everything is just beautiful. They've put so much hard work into it, and I don't think we could have done that with a bricks and mortar team and employees. You know, these folks are more motivated. They're more detailed. They're more concerned about whether or not this launch fails or succeeds. And they've all got their eye on the ball right at the end.
Wow. Well, I tell you, I'm your biggest fan.
Oh.
in that regard of being able to encourage entrepreneurs, and one of the reasons why I really reached out to Team DoubleClick is because one of the things I hear from entrepreneurs is, you know what, it's only me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one here. Everything that I'm doing, it's only me. And when we had our program a week ago, I talked about what was the number one reason why you'd want to hire a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is to make more money. Sure. So you can free yourself up and really be about doing the business of what you do rather than the mundane activities. We did have a guest who was on last week with us who was a virtual assistant, and she shared some of the challenges, which I'd like you to also address, is to share some of the challenges that you've heard from virtual assistants, although many of us do know, but I think it's still a very new field of opportunity that people don't necessarily give a lot of credibility to as it relates to just the general population.
Right.
And one of the things that I'd like you to speak to is educating our audience by sharing some of the challenges that your virtual assistants have shared with you and getting the public to really understand the value.
I'm glad you asked. Most people don't ask that question, and it is very important because there are a lot of common mistakes that we see clients make that really shoot themselves in the foot when they're working with a virtual assistant. And probably the biggest one is overloading the virtual assistant. It's easy for us to sit here and look at a full inbox and go, I need to get rid of all of this. I need to give it to somebody. And then dump all of those things on the virtual assistant on day one. And you have to look at it from the virtual assistant standpoint. And I'm just as guilty as the next person. I've done the same thing myself, just dump everything on her. But the problem when you do that is she's immediately overwhelmed, especially on day one. She doesn't know anything about your business, and here you are throwing all these unknown tasks at her. So that's a challenge, of course, for the virtual assistant because she doesn't know where to begin, and she may not know your personality yet, so she doesn't know if she dare ask or how in-depth she dare ask. So what works best is sitting down and doing an introductory call, and we actually facilitate introductory calls here. We'll set up a conference call between virtual assistant and client and do an introduction and just kind of act as moderator and get the conversation rolling and get some instruction from the client, a little background on their business, things like that, so that it makes for a smoother transition. So we really recommend that first phone call, just to chat, get to know each other a little bit. You know, this is what I prefer. I don't like it when you do this. This is how I like my calendar kept. This is how I want my phones answered. Go through all those things that are particular to your business. And then start the virtual assistant out slowly. Give her one or two tasks to do. See how she performs at them. If something needs to be corrected, in fact, I just hired a new executive assistant a couple of weeks ago. She made a couple oopses on my calendar. No big, but I needed to go back and say, okay, this is how I like it done. You know, please do it this way from here on out. It's easier for her because now she knows what I like and what I don't like. So she's going to do my calendar correctly the next time around. And it makes her job so much easier. And it also, and I'm going to use myself as an example again, one of my first doubts when we hired our first couple of virtual assistants was nobody else could do it as well as I could.
Yeah.
If I'd have dumped 100 tasks on the virtual assistant all at once, she'd have failed. I mean, very obviously she'd have failed, and I would have confirmed my own fears. So luckily I managed to realize that ahead of time, and I only gave her a couple so that I didn't she had a better chance to succeed, and I didn't confirm my fears. I mean, I'm sure if she'd have failed right off the bat, I would have went, oh, that's not going to work for me, and now I'm off the hook. Other challenges, I know quite often our virtual assistants get frustrated when clients don't answer back quickly. Most often they'll have questions, you know, how do you want this done, or who should I contact for this issue or whatever, and you know, of course, they wait nervously. Okay, I'm ready for the next task.
Okay.
So that's a big frustration. But at the same time, they understand. You know, they're working for busy professionals, busy entrepreneurs, and sometimes we can't always get right back to the email immediately. So I think those are probably the biggest ones is, you know, tasks and making sure that they have good instructions on how you want things done. I've seen so many vague sets of instructions, and it's frustrating for the person on the receiving end. You know, if I said, Anna, I need you to perform brain surgery, yeah, I assume you'd go, well, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
where if I gave you some instruction, I'd probably be about 4 years or so of instruction on that, but you'd know what to do first and next and last.
So the idea then, if I can just repeat some of the things you said, because my question was working some of those challenges that that the actual virtual assistant face with a client, mm-hmm. is the fact that, first of all, the client, so I'm going to respond as the client. Mm-hmm. I need to be a person that when I hire a virtual assistant, I need to really have some clarity about what I need them to do.
Yes.
I need to explain well or give good instructions so that I can get the best results. Mm-hmm. Number three is also I heard is that I really need to place this individual as a priority as a part of my team, and when they respond to me, I need to respond back quickly, because mm-hmm. it sounded like as that client, you know, the person is waiting and they want to respond, and like the client just kind of forgets that they've assigned them a job or they're working on something and they're not getting back to them in a timely manner. And
right.
then fourthly, really understand the task that I can delegate
mm-hmm.
to a virtual assistant that I know that I can get some progress or some execution on. One of the things that I firmly believe is that, you know, never delegate what you know you should do. And
right.
That certainly limits any type of failure when you have a virtual assistant. If it's something that you must handle yourself, then the individual should handle it themselves.
Right.
So when we talk about working with the virtual assistant, are there any other things that we should know as an entrepreneur?
Know your strengths and weaknesses. I know that it's hard for some of us to do. I think I'm good at everything sometimes, and you know, when I sit down and really look myself over, I go, you know, I'm really not that good at math or whatever it is. So know your strengths and weaknesses. One of the things that I highly recommend doing to help figure out where your weaknesses are and what you don't need to handle, I did this before we hired our first couple of virtual assistants. I kept a diary, basically, or a log of everything I did throughout the day for a week, whether it was answering a phone call or an email, and then I kind of categorized all those. You know, that this is these types of emails, you know, job request emails or client request emails, this type of telephone call, and so on. I went through everything I did. Maybe it was a joint venture partner meeting or whatever, and then at the end of the week, I went through and I crossed out everything that I had to do myself. So like a joint venture partner meeting, that's something I have to do. Sales call, that at the time was something I had to do. So those all got lined out. Everything that was left on that list, answering the emails, customer service emails, job request emails, all those things, those could be delegated to someone else. So those are the things we went out then and said, okay, we need somebody that can do these things. So I guess that's the other thing, is it's important to know what you have to do and what you don't have to do, and then find someone that can do the things that you don't have to do.
Okay. And so when we think of them, we should literally just kind of sit down and think about our strengths and our weaknesses, and try to fulfill, or as we choose a virtual assistant, to try to choose someone who could really fulfill those weaknesses.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, if you're strong at accounting but you're very weak on marketing, why would you hire an accountant? Go hire the marketing person. Get your business going. So yeah, definitely.
Okay, so talk to me about what would a client expect as it relates to the cost of a virtual assistant. But before you answer that, let me just make this statement. You're listening to Anna the Real McCoy with my guest, Gail Busick, with Team Double Click, and we're talking about moving your vision forward in a virtual world and hiring virtual assistants or other professionals and really gathering a carpool of talent. So now you can go ahead and answer that question for me, Gail.
All right, and I'm going to give you a two-part answer. I'll talk a little bit about our rates in just a minute, but To give you an idea, if you go out on the Internet, you can type in virtual assistant on Yahoo or Google, and you'll find I think the last time I looked, it was 9 million matches. So there are a lot of virtual assistants out there. Their prices vary widely. I've seen rates as high as $75 an hour for general administrative, which, in my opinion, is too high. For a marketing person, yeah, maybe. For an accountant, probably. But for someone doing general administrative, that's just too high. You'll find some people want retainers, some people don't. Some are prepay, some are pay-as-you-go. So it really runs the gamut as far as independent virtual assistants. And that's one of the pains we saw when our clients started coming to us was, you know, I've called five other companies and one wanted $75 an hour, one wanted $50, one was $10. Can that be true? Yes, it was just all over. So what we did is we kind of categorized tasks. General, lower-level virtual assistant, data entry, telephone answering, those kinds of things are $24.86 per hour. If you get into graphic design, heavy PR work, things like that, then the rates go up a little bit. And we match the person, of course, accordingly. So if you need a high-level PR person, that person will be at this rate. If you need a data entry person, that person will be at $24.86. The other thing that we do is all of our virtual assistants time everything that they do right down to the minute. So if you use 3 hours and 6 minutes, you're billed exactly 3 hours and 6 minutes. So we don't do any, you know, rounding other than to the nearest minute, of course. The reason we did that is for the flexibility. Working virtually, you should have flexibility. And if you have to guarantee someone 30 or 40 hours a week, you lose all that flexibility. And then it just doesn't make sense for an entrepreneur.
Wow. Well, I like the fact that so you don't round it off to you bill for exactly what that virtual assistant does.
Right, and she'll send a report too at the end of each day, and tell you, I answered emails today. These types of emails. Maybe I answered, you know, customer service emails, and it took me 20 minutes. I was on the telephone for you, making outbound calls, booking travel arrangements. I spent an hour and 5 minutes on that, and all the way down through the list, so that you always know too what's being done in your business each day. And I think that's important because you don't see that person every day. You don't see them face to face, and it's easy for a lot of us to think, "Well, she's not doing anything. Yeah, I'm spending my money and not getting anything done." So this lets our clients know exactly what she got done on a daily basis and how much you spent, which of course is important too because we all have budgets.
So are you also, for instance, does Team DoubleClick, in the process of training your virtual assistants, are you also training them on how to do reporting to their clients?
Yes, yes. And
okay.
It's a requirement. Our virtual assistants, if they don't, they have to agree to do the daily reporting with our clients. If they refuse or they just later don't do it, they don't get to stay around.
Okay, so when we think of the relationship with Team DoubleClick, is that relationship with you as a company and then you actually pay that assistant directly? We pay
yes.
You as a client. How does that work?
You got it exactly right. You would hire us, Team DoubleClick,
okay.
And whether you've got 5, 1, 50 virtual assistants, we combine all of their billing. You can see how much each person did. But we combine all that into one invoice. So you just get one invoice for all of those virtual assistants. And then we in turn pay them.
Okay. So on average, Gail, are you seeing a trend where companies are actually hiring virtual assistants versus hiring full-time employees?
It's becoming more mainstream now. When we first started doing virtual staffing about 5 years ago, everybody that we came in contact with, no one knew what a virtual assistant was. But more and more, it's being covered in the major media. ABC does a segment on virtual assistants, or did a segment, I should say. Fox News had a segment. It's really everywhere. So it's becoming more accepted. We do have quite a few clients that have come to us and said, you know, I'm fed up with my bricks and mortar office. I can't afford it anymore. If I'm going to stay in business, I have to go virtual. So, unfortunately, I've let my entire in-office staff go, and I'm replacing them with virtual assistants. So, we do see some of that. It's not Not a lot of people are doing that yet,
yeah,
but it is happening more and more.
Okay, so I want our listeners to really understand the Team DoubleClick relationship, not just in the virtual assistant world, but
mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you primarily because I believe that you certainly are pioneering this particular industry and have a very clear understanding on how it can be beneficial to our listeners as well as many of the entrepreneurs that Woman Act Now impacts, and we want to certainly support that. Is there anything else about what you're doing that you feel that's pertaining specifically to how Team DoubleClick works that would be helpful for our listeners?
I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you kind of brought me back around to that, too. What we try to do is we want our clients to work one-on-one with our virtual assistants, so I should clarify that. Once we assign a virtual assistant to you, obviously, if you have problems, we want to know because we want to either, if it's something, like just not being able to wrap your mind around working virtually, we want to help you through that. If it's a problem with the virtual assistant herself, again, we want to know so we can either fix it or bring someone else in. But we have our clients and our virtual assistants work one-on-one. So in other words, Anna, if you had a spreadsheet that you needed compiled, maybe with some research, you would send it directly to the virtual assistant that we assign you. She would work on that task, and when it's completed, she'll send it directly back to you. So we actually don't, here at a corporate level, we don't see any of that work product because we want you working, more closely together. We want you to be able to feel that she is a part of your team. And it needs to be that way if she's going to help you grow, too. So unless there are problems, we pretty well stay out of the middle. But then, of course, we'll hop in if you do have problems and you need our help. So that's important to note. We've had people come through that think everything that, if you had a spreadsheet, you'd send it to me. I would send it to the virtual assistant. She'd send it back to me. I'd send it to you. Oh, that'd just be a mess.
Okay. Well, here, and that's what I wanted to make sure, because what I see Team DoubleClick is, you're an accountability partner, really. Is
yes.
That if I just hired a virtual assistant off the street, then I would have to just deal with that person without having that level of accountability that you've just described.
Now, exactly.
We do have a listener, and I'd like to invite her to the show. She is from the 817 area code. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. This is Lolita.
Hi, Lolita. How are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm excellent. Well, thank you for calling the show. I have our guest, Gail Busick, with Team DoubleClick.
Hi, Lolita.
Hi.
So you've been listening to us today.
I have, and I apologize. I got kind of on the end, not at the very beginning of the call, but I do have one question that I would like to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, are your virtual assistants only administrative, like executive assistants, or are they industry specific? Because I like myself, I'm a real estate investor, and I'm actually looking into virtual assistants for a couple of aspects of what I do.
Okay.
As far as the ads online and different things that I have to do that I need to solely focus on negotiating and working with sellers and investors. That's pretty much what I want to do. All of the other, responsibilities I'd like to delegate.
Perfect. You're on the right track for sure. And to answer your question, we have general virtual assistants and we have industry specific. So we do have both. And in fact, real estate is one of the industries that has so many specifics, as I'm sure you know. You have to be licensed and all those things. So we actually designed a specific training program for our virtual assistants. So they can either go down the path of general virtual assistant or they can choose real estate virtual assistant, which includes investing, working for real estate investors. We have quite a few investing clients. And we're working on other industry segments as some of these more specific type things come up, like real estate. So definitely, we can certainly place real estate virtual assistants too. We also do transaction coordination.
Okay.
Okay, and what do we know what that is, Lolita?
Well, I would like to, you know, Yale, if you will, definitely break that down as far as what it entails that, that you all do.
Oh, for real estate in general or for,
yeah.
Okay.
For the,
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Oh.
Sorry.
For real estate investing, some of the things that we teach them are we worked with a mentor, a real estate mentor, a real estate investing mentor a few years ago that kind of showed us some of the ins and outs of what investors deal with on a daily basis as opposed to what real estate agents and brokers deal with. And we really developed our training program for the virtual assistants around that. So we show them what you go through typically on a daily basis, you know, what types of things you're looking for.
Sure.
We also show them how to help find expired listings, how to find absentee owners.
Great.
All those kinds of things. So we even went as far at one time. We discontinued it, but at one time we even taught them how to hang bandit signs and door hangers.
Why did you discontinue that? That's great.
Well, because it being an in-person thing, we were forced to focus on the area that they were in rather than
okay.
the skills they had. And we had so many no-shows. It was so frustrating. We looked
sure.
bad. And I said, if we have to look bad every time we do it, I don't want to do it. So,
sure. Okay.
But we thought it was a good idea at the time, too, but it just turned out not to be.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's good.
Well, I think that's awesome. And to be able to locate individuals that can service a particular client's need.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me to this question. If you did have a client that you didn't really have someone on your team or within the team Double Click who could satisfy that, how do you all try and find someone who does?
Actually, there are a couple of different things that we do. If it's something very, very unique that we don't, for lack of a better word, stock virtual assistants for. For example, we had a client that wanted a French-Canadian-speaking virtual assistant. We'll actually go out and try to recruit for that position. It'll probably take us a little longer to make a placement where, you know, if you came and said, I need a general virtual assistant or I need a real estate virtual assistant, we already know we've got lots and lots of those to choose from so we can make the best match based on the skills and the traits that you need in that person. But if it's something more unique, we'll go out and recruit. The other thing we do is even though the virtual assistants are trained and capable of doing administrative work, we've shown them how to use those skills virtually. We understand that Anna, you may want to sit down with that virtual assistant and explain how your website works, how your customer service works, how you like phones answered. You get 2 free hours of training time with her to go through specifics like that. The other thing that we do is see if I can think of an example. We've got a U-Train program where if we can't find someone that can, I've got one. A gentleman asked us about a year ago for experience in some really strange software program that we'd never heard of, and out of 50,000 people, we couldn't find anyone that had that in their resume. It was that obscure. So he went with the U-Train program, and he trained her to use that software the way he wanted it used in exchange for a reduced hourly rate. So knowing that she was going to be a little bit slower because she doesn't know this software and you know she's still learning as she goes, she's still doing the work, but it's not as fast as she would have been had she known that software. So he got a reduced hourly rate, virtual assistant gets a slightly reduced rate, and then the rate is adjusted up as time goes by and she learns that better.
Okay. Well, you know, listen, we have a couple of people listening, and Lolita, I'm going to put you on mute for a second, and
okay.
I'm going to invite another caller to the air. Just hold on 1 second. So, Gail, I'm trying to work all this great technology, and I want to, we have another caller that's on the air. Her name is CJ. Are you there?
Hi, yes, this is CJ. Hello, I've been listening to a little bit of the program, and I think that this virtual assistant sounds really good for a new company just getting started out, and they may not have a lot of resources as far as people answering the phone and maybe helping out with, like, the first port of contact for a company, for a business. But I was wanting to know that when you go out and you look for that virtual assistant, is that, like, if I were to sign up for your program, would I be dealing with just that individual person, or I'd be dealing with different people, or how would you handle that as far as if I wanted to sign up for my business, would I have, like, five people that I'd be dealing with or a group of people?
That's a great question. If it's the same tasks repetitively, so, for example, I mentioned earlier my new executive assistant that I hired. Someone else hired her for me. But anyway, I have a new executive assistant. She will be my executive assistant throughout until, you know, something changes in her life if she needs to move on. So if you don't work from a pool of people, you work with that one virtual assistant, or, you know, if you need one to do accounting, one to do general, one to do sales calls or cold calls, something like that, then it would be different people. But for those specific tasks, it'll be the same person every time. Did I answer your question the way you were looking for?
Yes, you did, and that okay. Sounds really good. Thank you.
You bet. It's hard. You know, we thought about going with the pool method, and a lot of companies do, that they'll have a pool of virtual assistants, and you would send something in, and CJ, you would say, you know, I need the spreadsheet done, and you send it to one person. Today, Susie might work on it. The next day, Joni might, and then Tommy or, you know, whoever, and then you finally get the work product back. To us, that just didn't seem as efficient because none of those people can get to intimately know your business if they don't get to have contact with you on a regular basis. So that's why we wanted to do the one-on-one relationship, so you're always dealing with the same person.
Right. That sounds great. And it sounds really good not to have to really deal with all the supervisor or work scheduling and things like that, which can be kind of tedious for a new business, someone starting a new business.
Oh, absolutely. It's so inefficient. You know, you want to be able to go to that virtual assistant and say, you know, you remember 2 weeks ago when we did this, we need to do it again.
Right.
And if you're dealing with a different person every time, you'd have no history to draw on. You'd have to go back and re-explain. And if anybody hates re-explaining, it's me.
I understand. Well, I think, I don't know if I missed the beginning where you kind of told how to get started on this type of a program, but I would appreciate if you would tell me again.
Oh, absolutely. You can certainly go on the Internet and do a search for virtual assistants. You'll find millions of them. Our company is Team DoubleClick, and just as it sounds, teamdoubleclick.com. And any of our staff are able to help you. I would go for customer service, of course, because they're dealing with placements on a daily basis. But what they'll do when you first talk is we don't charge for consultation, of course. So one of our customer service reps will work with you and help figure out what kinds of tasks you need to have done, what skills. They'll try to get a little bit of a gauge on your personality, you know, whether or not you need someone that's a little more laid back or whether you need someone that's a little more peppy and high-strung. And then they will match you with one of our virtual assistants that best matches all those traits.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, CJ.
Well, thank you for calling, CJ. You're listening to Anna the Real McCoy on Woman Act Now Radio with guest Gail Busick, the CEO of Team Double Click. And you can visit Team Double Click at www.teamdoubleclick.com to get yourself started, to get your dream moving to the next place by finding a person who can complement your team, who can fulfill your weaknesses, who can help you to stay on target as it relates to achieving your goal. So, Gail, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about as it relates to virtual assistants?
You know, I think we've pretty well covered all of the aspects. unless there are other questions, I'm happy to answer more questions too. But,
yes.
No, I think we've covered everything very well. You know, let other people know that virtual assistants exist too, especially with, you know, with rising fuel prices. It really is, and I wish I could remember the source of the study, but there was a study that was discussing how it really is becoming unaffordable for people to drive to work. So, you know, the next thing that comes are salary increases to compensate for fuel. And I know a lot of companies now too are offering fuel reimbursements for their employees, which. If there's another way to do it, that's just a senseless burden on your business to have to do that.
Well, I'd like to say thank you, Gail, for joining us on Woman Act Now Radio with your host, Anna McCoy. There's one last question I have for you. And what's the average turnaround, time if CJ were to contact Team DoubleClick today? What would be that average turnaround to actually get an assignment with a virtual assistant?
Usually, if it's a normal position, say if it's a French-Canadian speaking virtual assistant, it'll take us a little longer. Usually, that's a month to 2 months for something very obscure. But if it's real estate virtual assistants, general virtual assistants, generally we can make a placement in under a week. So it doesn't take very long at all.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I'm going to wrap up the show, and I'd like to thank you for calling and certainly being a part of our team with Woman Act Now. And our whole objective is to empower women to be able to achieve their destiny, to achieve their purpose. And I absolutely am completely sold out to the fact that stop talking and start doing by getting a person or persons to begin to help you move your dream forward. So again, Gail, I'd like to thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. So we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to come right back, and we'll close the show.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
Are you listening to Woman Act Now Radio with Anna McCoy, your host, Anna McCoy? We were talking with our guest, Gail Busick, with Team DoubleClick, and you can go to TeamDoubleClick.com to start your virtual assistant today. Listen, ladies, I want to take a minute just to encourage you that, you know what, your dream, your idea can begin to move forward. Maybe you don't have all the right people, but if you choose from a pool of talent that virtual assistants provide you, then you can certainly get started. And it's just a matter of being able to find those individuals who know what you know and that you can begin to work virtually with. And what I really appreciate about Team DoubleClick is they have almost 50,000 virtual assistants. So I'm sure that one of those individuals will be able to help fill the gap and help you to begin to close that execution gap on your ideas in your dreams. So I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged today that your dream can live. You know, and I talked about why would you want that virtual assistant? You want the virtual assistant so you can start making some money. And what that means is all of those tedious tasks that you're doing, you need to be able to hand that off to someone who understands your industry, who understands what you're doing, and be able to move on and do those things that can really generate revenue for your business. So whether it's customer service, you know, we've talked about many of these things in Woman Act Now about providing excellent customer service. And that's certainly one of the areas that entrepreneurs, unfortunately, fail in because we're trying to do so many different things. And if you don't do anything else, hire a virtual assistant to call your clients, to stay in touch with them, to stay in front of them, to be able to follow up with the individuals on your team. So you're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy, on Woman Act Now Radio, and we hope that we'll hear from you on next week, and let me tell you, what are we talking about next week? Next week, I believe that we're talking about financial infidelity. We're also going to be interviewing Deborah Winings in about 2 weeks, and then the July the 24th, we will have our guest Lee Jenkins, who wrote a book about what do you do when your money is funny? And so we're talking about financial issues throughout the month of July, and we will also deal with your credit score this month. So I want to encourage each of you to, as you're listening to Woman Act Now Radio, to also participate on our 15 Minutes to Destiny calls that occur every Monday. Listen, these are the calls that will get you moving, that will get you focused, that will keep you executing on your ideas. So we're constantly empowering you with information for you to be able to achieve your goals. So thank you for listening today. You're listening to Anna McCoy, The Real McCoy on Woman Action Radio. And we will talk to you on next week.